The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
We have a special curtain call today because, as a lot of you theater people know, the nominations for the Artsies are now out and people are starting to anticipate the big show. Today we have a special show to talk about the Critics Circle and TAP members. And we're going to kick it off with Miss Amy White, who has been involved with the Critics Circle for many years as kind of the administrator. You also might recognize her voice because she does the opening and the close for this Curtain Call podcast. And you're also the producer for the Artsies, correct?
That's right, for all but the very first one.
And this will be the 12th, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah.
The main thing we want to talk about first is to help people understand how the Artsies voting process works, because I know there's been some controversy and some stuff on social media about different things, and we thought, well, let's just make sure people understand exactly, make it as transparent as possible. So why don't you give us the nutshell of how that process works?
Both the Theater Critics and the Theater Alliance panelists serve pro bono. They dedicate a lot of time to attending the productions and giving thoughtful consideration, making notes, and then participating in the award nomination and voting process. But in order to participate, they have to have seen 2/3 of the eligible productions.
Which is about how many?
Well, for this past year, it was more than 30. Yeah. So as for the actual voting process.
And let me just interrupt. Most people see more than 2/3.
Absolutely.
That's just the bare minimum.
Yes. Right. The nominations are an aggregate of 10 people's votes. And we use a spreadsheet to tabulate these votes. Those who make the cut are selected as nominees. In the end, one, or sometimes two, rise to the top as truly outstanding.
And just to make that clear, the critics and the TAP members all send in their nominations to a spreadsheet, first, second, and third choice, and then all that's aggregated for us to look at. So there's no way that one person can have more control than the others, because it's basically 10 people who all contribute, and then what happens after that is we all sit down in a big room, we look at the numbers. Sometimes very clearly the top five nominations are the top numbers, and it's a given. And obviously a lot of times we have voting and repolling until we get the top five.
That's right.
Talk about the fact that it's not just a one-time thing. We actually do it twice a year, and why we do that.
After the end of the first half of the season, we do our first selection of nominees for that first half so that it's fresh on everybody's minds.
That's about usually February, something like
that. That's right. So we try to keep things blocked off in those segments so that the shows are fresh and top of mind and no one part of the season gets preferential treatment.
Right. It's easy to understand that because when you sit down in August to talk about the shows that we're playing in last September, sometimes it's like, wait a minute, what was that show? So it's good that we have that mid-season voting session. And that's just for nominations. We just put all the numbers in and then we just stop at that point.
That's right. And so it's a very data-driven process. When the second half of the season ends, we all submit nominations for the second half. And then they're aggregated into the spreadsheet for group discussion.
Sometimes there are 20 or 30 nominations in some of these categories. And we have to work on whittling that down to the ones that are the top five or sometimes the top six. So once you've got all the nominations compiled, which is usually in August, what happens next?
Once those nominees are selected, the critics have the final say in voting for the winner. And there are certainly opportunities for, as we call it, an impassioned plea.
Right, right.
So if a production or a nominee does not make it to that final cut, and there's a member of either the Critics Circle or the Theater Alliance panel who feels very strongly about why that show deserves to win or at least to be in the nominees, then that person can make an impassioned plea and outline all of the reasons why that nominee should be considered for inclusion in the pool of nominees.
Right. And that has worked sometimes. Sometimes someone will make an impassioned plea. This person really should be considered because of X, Y, or Z. Sometimes it's changed opinions and votes. Sometimes we're like, nah, okay, nice idea, but no, we're not going to do it. So once the critics start voting on the selections for each category, the top scores, again, sometimes the top score is pretty obvious, so it's a non-issue. So once you've got those final nominations, and maybe there are two that the critics just can't make a decision between, it's a tie, literally, what happens?
So then it opens up to the Theater Alliance panel for their opinions and their tie-breaking vote.
Right.
But if they're unable to break that tie, if they are also tied, it is possible to have more than one winner.
And we have had that.
We've had that in the past. And while we try to acknowledge a clear standout, sometimes it's necessary to leave it as a tie.
Then what happens?
So at that point, we release the nominees and get ready to celebrate those noteworthy accomplishments at our black tie red carpet gala with the entire theater community. This year, it's October 27th. At 7 p.m.
It's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday. And our after party will be hosted by Bar Salita again this year and sponsored
great.
By the Modlin Center.
Conveniently right across the street.
Right across the street. And all proceeds from the Artsies benefit the Theater Artist Fund of Greater Richmond. So this fund is managed by the Community Foundation, and it provides emergency financial assistance to theater artists who have experienced an exceptional financial need beyond their control. Since its inception, the Artsies has raised $72,575 for the fund, which
wow,
has written
wow.
10 grants for $13,000 for artists in need.
Wow, wow. Yeah, great. Actually, I think 2 years ago, we had videos that outlined some of those people who had received some of the grants to put a special focus on the Artist Fund. So who are going to be our hosts this year at the Artsies?
This year, Bianca Bryan and Gerald Solomon will be hosting the Artsies.
And two wonderfully talented actors.
Wonderful talented actors and perfect choices for this year's hosts. Our theme is All the World's a Stage, and we're focusing on both out-of-town actors visiting Richmond stages, but also those who have worked in other markets and come to settle here, like Bianca and Gerald. So I hope everybody will get their tickets early. They go on sale September 3rd through the Virginia Rep box office. Tickets are $20 for orchestra seating, $25 for balcony seating, and you want to get your tickets early
because
prices
go up. Right, right.
1 week before the Artsies.
Again, the idea is just to get people to get in there early and get the good seats because it does get close to selling out every year.
It does, it does. And you want to get your seats with your friends as soon as possible. So you can call the Virginia Rep box office at 804-282-2620 or visit virginia/rep.org.
And of course, you can always go to our website, artsies.org, where there's information on the presenters, on the nominations, and how to get tickets. And thank you so much, Amy. We'll look forward
Thanks
to
for
seeing
having
you at the Artsies.
Great. Thank you, everybody.
I'm here with Alan Sader, who is the newest member of TAP, the Theater Alliance panel that you heard us talk about in the previous interview with Amy. Alan, welcome to Curtain Call.
Thanks, Jerry.
Four of the previous ones are back again this year, but we've added you to the TAP panel. Obviously, a lot of people may recognize your voice from radio and commercials, and of course, if they saw your face, they'd recognize you from the...
Well, it was Christian Children's Fund. Now it's called Child Fund International, but I also was spokesperson for Farm Fresh grocery stores and did a bunch of work for Haynes on camera as well.
Back
and
in the
other
day.
Things.
People are probably familiar with that, but what about your theater background?
I always did it from the time I was a kid. It never occurred to me that it would be a vocation. I was going to be a doctor like my dad, and after a semester and a half at Duke and not doing well in the sciences or math, I abandoned that idea, and Duke Players was there, and I thought, well, you know, I've always ended up in a play somehow, even when I was a little kid. So I went to Duke Players and auditioned, and I got a big role right away, and then I got another major role. Then after graduating...
Now, you graduated in theater, or are you still in medical?
You don't want me to tell you the year, do you?
No,
I graduated... a degree in English.
In English, okay. Yeah.
I had been in a play, and the Southeastern Theater Conference was being held in the area, and Rob Roy Farquhar from the Flat Rock Playhouse, then he offered me a member of the residence company, union membership, for the following year, and it happened again the year after, and I thought, well, I'm going to get drafted, so I may as well do this until I decide what I want to do with my life. And so around 40, I told myself, you know, I may as well just do this, and that's what happened in a sort of a big nutshell.
Well, that's interesting, because I didn't obviously know any of that about you, so that's fascinating. First of all, what do you think of Richmond's theater scene as it currently is, and as you've seen it grow, obviously, because you've been involved in it for years?
The Richmond theater scene is vibrant, filled with highly talented people in every regard, the tech people, the directors, the stage managers, and not to mention the actors, of course. I think the theater scene here is remarkable for the size city it is.
So what do you think your perspective is going to be added to the TAP panel?
I think my experience, total experience in the theater from every aspect, from managing theater to being an actor to doing tech work, brings a perspective that I don't know that is fully represented on the panel.
It's a challenge because you've got to see a lot of shows now and you got to sit down and think about them. And then when we get to the end of the year, you got to sit down and vote. So we'll look forward to having your input. And I'm sure the audiences will look forward to what you have to say in the future.
Well, thanks, Jerry. I do hope so. I can see that it is a challenge.
Okay. And we've been talking to Alan Sader, who is the latest member of the Theater Alliance panel. Thank you, Alan. That's it for this week's Curtain Call. We'll be back in 2 weeks to start reviewing.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.